This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Borrowing to buy a house by the end of this year could be much more expensive, or it might be cheaper. I know, which is it? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The average cost of borrowing for a house or apartment is running now just under 4.6%, but that is set to go higher as central bankers try to zap inflation. Well, how high? On Fridays, we get a consultation with Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FHN Financial in New York. Hello there.
Good morning, David.
I mean, the 10-year interest rate is what it is, you know, 2.4%. But, you know, if you want to buy a house and you want one of them 30-year fixed mortgages, I mean, I've seen some forecasts that by the end of this year, those could cost 5%. I mean, really?
Yeah, really. Or maybe 3%, because, you know, all of this, the rise in 10-year note yields, the rise in mortgage rates, which are directly priced off of government 10-year note yields, it's in response to the Fed's increasing urgency to raise rates. It's this fight that the Federal Reserve is launching against inflation. And, well, we heard from President of the Chicago Fed, Charles Evans, just yesterday, it is hard to get right when inflation is already high. And because of that, they have to move more quickly. Moving more quickly means they have less time to react as data eventually shows a slowdown. And economists, myself included, are, for that reason, raising our recession risk in the next year.
So in the next year, what are you thinking? Are we not a 50-50 chance of recession?
Well, I think one thing that is almost certain is that the Fed is so determined they will break inflation. Inflation is going to slow down. But I think at the moment our forecast is 45%. I think recession's more likely next year than this year. But next year, the risk is pretty extreme.
All right. Christopher Lowe, he's the chief economist at FHN Financial. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Agricultural businesses run by tribal nations in the U.S. and those that work on tribal lands say they have a hard time getting federal loans. This week, the Federal Farm Credit Administration announced some ways to fix this. Here's Marketplace's Savannah Marr.
When farmers and ranchers apply for federal loans, they often put up land as collateral.
And that's very complicated on tribal lands.
Alicia Puente-Cackley looked into this for the Government Accountability Office. She says some producers working inside the borders of a tribal nation don't own that land outright.
Lenders don't always understand or are not always sure whether they have the ability to collect if a loan goes into default.
So she says farmers have a hard time accessing credit. Tony Stanger McLaughlin heads up the Native American Agriculture Fund, which is working with the Farm Credit Administration to address this problem. She says step one is training federal lenders about working with tribes.
When we have more decision makers that have this background in education, they're going to feel a lot more confident entering into these arrangements with tribes.
She says one goal is for Native producers who've been rejected in the past to see federal loans as an option. I'm Savannah Marr for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The U.S. and European Union have reached a preliminary agreement on transferring data across the Atlantic. This deal announced today in Brussels by President Biden and the President of the European Commission. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here live.
Well, David, President Biden is calling this a privacy shield framework, and the idea is to let data flow back and forth between the U.S. and EU while safeguarding privacy. This deal could reassure tech companies who are worried about being sued for transferring all kinds of information, even things like payroll data and social media posts. President Biden told reporters today in Brussels that the agreement will solve that problem.
It's going to allow the European Commission to once again authorize transatlantic data flows that help facilitate $7.1 trillion in economic relationships with the EU.
All right, Nancy, so how?
Well, the White House and the EU aren't getting into too much detail here, David, but they do say this is the product of a year of negotiations. The deal will allow the continued flow of data so businesses can compete in each other's markets. The White House says the U.S. will strengthen privacy and civil liberty safeguards and create what it calls a new independent redress mechanism.
Largely because Europeans have gone to court over privacy concerns.
Yeah. In fact, a previous privacy shield agreement was struck down in the EU's highest court almost 2 years ago because of fears U.S. intelligence agencies would be able to access Europeans' private data once it crossed the Atlantic. And this new agreement is also likely to face court challenges.
The IRS tax filing deadline for you and me, individuals, is April 18th this year. That's 3 weeks from this next Monday. An update now from Marketplace's Marielle Segarra on challenges for the IRS and for taxpayers.
A lot of us listen to music in the background while we're working, maybe classical or top 40. Lately, I've been getting into Puerto Rican plena music. But poor Todd Simmons, he doesn't get a choice in the matter.
My daily music is IRS hold music.
Simmons is a tax advisor at BDO USA and often has to call the IRS on behalf of his clients. And he gets to listen to this pleasant yet oppressive instrumental on loop for hours every day.
What can often happen is we'll wait 2-3 hours to get somebody and we'll just get disconnected. Sometimes they call it a courtesy disconnect, believe it or not.
By the way, there is a callback option, but it's not always offered. Because of understaffing, hold times at the IRS have gotten longer in recent years. In 2021, 9 out of 10 calls from taxpayers went unanswered. That can make it hard to file your taxes. And this is just one of the IRS's problems right now. Janet Holtzblatt, a senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center, says the agency's computer systems are ancient.
They rely in some cases on programming language that's over half a century old. And the IRS has for decades been trying to upgrade and modernize its computer systems, but funding for that has been at a very slow pace.
Also, the IRS has a huge backlog of tax returns, in large part because of the pandemic. Some people still haven't gotten their refunds from 2020. And yours could be delayed this year, too, especially if you file on paper. To fix these problems, the IRS will need to attract more workers, and it'll probably need more money.
So relative to last year, the IRS got an increase of $675 million.
Small potatoes compared to the $80 billion the Biden administration had asked for over 10 years. And the IRS says more than 40% of the money will go toward cost of living increases for workers. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Here's a courtesy disconnect. Arrivederci. Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.